One, two, three, four!
We're back, baby.
We're here
for season three.
Welcome back.
Took a nice little vacation for a week. That was good.
You know what? It was well needed. We're well rested. We're back to basics, baby. We're here.
We're back to it. The only other time we missed a week was kind of unintentionally back a long time ago, and you won't notice because we didn't say shit about it. So snuck around it. Just did the same episode the next week, like nothing happened. Went through a little time warp on you. Yeah, real bad. You know what? New month, new me.
That's true.
If you do it every month instead of waiting for January 1st, you get to be 12 people a year.
It's true.
You get to do all kinds of new shit.
It is true. You get to do that.
Yeah. Speaking of new shit, let's hit them with some patch notes. What's going on in the world of games?
Oh, the world of games. It's going to be a short patch notes just because this is stuff that I like to cover. As we all know, where we started from our roots, Apex. Apex had a very big patch on June 24th. They had tweaks to a number of weapons and legends and things like that, but I'm going to go into the stuff that I like. We've got original King's Canyon back and original World's Edge back, which is kind of huge. I pretty much called this. I said, you know what if they do like a time warp where they kind of go back in time and they give us the maps and stuff like that? So they did. We got some new skins for Loba, Bangalore, Valkyrie, Revenant, and Horizon, and also Gibraltar. Revenant got very big nerf and buff. Not really big nerf. Honestly, his nerf was kind of good. You know, his silence is, you know, reduced from 20 seconds to 15 seconds, and his death totem is reduced from, I think, 25 seconds to 20, like on like how long you can be in your death totem. He got big buff to climbing. His climbing is a little bit more extended now, not unlimited, but a little bit more extended. The biggest hype is the maps coming back. We got Skulltown back, Thunderdome, Bridges is back, all that good fun stuff on King's Game. So very chef's kiss like.
Very mwah.
Very mwah. The other thing I wanted to talk about was the PlayStation Plus games for July 2021.
Fuck yeah. I don't know what these are yet.
You don't know what these are?
No, I don't.
So I'm going to go one by one. I think I'm going to go worst to best.
Okay.
So these games will be available on the PlayStation Store to anyone that is a PlayStation Plus member from July 6th, 2021 to August 2nd, 2021.
Drum roll, please.
We've got WWE 2K Battlegrounds. Call of Duty Black Ops 4.
Okay. All right.
And we also got A Plague Tale Innocence.
Nice. I've never played it. I think I might own it already.
It's on Game Pass.
Okay, that's where it is. Yeah, it's on Game Pass.
A pretty big showing, I think, just with Plague Tale and Call of Duty Black Ops 4. The biggest question in my head is Black Ops 4, when the game launched, it launched with Blackout. Are we getting Blackout back? Are we getting Blackout BR back?
Is it multiplayer only as well? Because didn't they do that before for one of them? Like Black Ops 3, you got it, but just multiplayer, I think.
Right, you got it, just multiplayer. I'm looking right now. I think it's just going to be multiplayer because when Black Ops 4 launched, there was no story. It was all multiplayer. So I'm guessing yes, but my biggest question is, are we getting Blackout back? I don't know. And then obviously WWE 2K Battlegrounds.
I can't wait to be able to try Call of Duty 4 Random Orange Lines.
Four random orange lines. So good. So good. That's it for patch notes. I'm going to pass it on back to you, Shane, for the meat of this episode.
We're all patched up.
Patched up, baby.
We're all patched up. So, yeah, we're starting off season three, diving into not by any means a new game, but a game that has a new update and a game that everybody is familiar with, most likely, whether you're a big gamer or whether you're not. I'm sure you know, pretty much everybody's heard of this. We're talking about Minecraft. Specifically, you know, the Caves and Cliffs update, which part one just came out here in June. So, yeah, let's dive into Minecraft. Originally released as Minecraft Classic on May 17th of 2009, Minecraft is a procedurally generated survival sandbox game created by Marcus Persson. I'm not sure this one needs a lot of explaining. As I said, most people have probably played it. With over 200 million copies sold as of 2020, it is currently the best-selling video game of all time. Since that original classic version's release, this game has gone through numerous reiterations and upgrades and updates, and right now, I mean, honestly, I think it's in a great, great place. The game itself, you know, the official non-alpha test sort of kind of version, the one that's not referred to as classic, was originally released in 2011. The first thing that I'll say about Minecraft, and it's almost kind of unrelated to the game, but it's about Notch himself, about Marcus. I'm much happier having Minecraft under the helm of, you know, a Microsoft-owned Mojang. The dev team and the culture there, you know, from what I have researched, from what I've observed, seems a lot healthier. Is actually, you know, a part of that that ties into why this update is two parts. But it's also, for me, majorly in part due to the shitty person that Notch has revealed himself to be in, you know, the years following his sale of Mojang and Minecraft to Microsoft.
I'm very ignorant in this because I had no idea the type of person that he was whatsoever. I thought it was pretty cool that, you know, he sold the company for $2.5 billion. That's what I thought. I did not, never done any deep research into this. So everything you're going to tell me, obviously, you and I are cut from the same cloth pretty much. You know, I mean, anything that kind of disrupts the realm of looking down or shitting on people or any, like looking towards a group of people like in a bad way, like, and they're not doing anything to you, you're pretty much a shitty person in my mind. So,
yeah. Yeah, and especially when it falls under the guise of pretending that or just suggesting that just like, well, hey, it's just my opinion, man. You know, yeah, sure, everybody gets their opinions. But if yours is, you know, extra shitty and racist and homophobic and transphobic, whatever, if it has an opinion about other people and their worthiness as people and their value as people, then it's a shitty opinion. And it's not really it's bullshit to even pretend that it's just an opinion. This is actually not the Minecraft segment. This is I was talking about social events and political discourse. So yeah, he's not a great guy. At least from my, you know, distant impression from the things that he's put out into the public on the internet, which is all we have to go by for someone like this. You know, after selling Minecraft for $2.5 billion to Microsoft, from which of that, I believe from what I remember, he kept $1.3 billion as just his final after, you know, sales tax and fees and whatever else. I don't think there's actually sales. Or maybe it is sales tax for that. I don't know. Whatever taxes are involved.
I think it is tax.
I'm sure there's some kind of some product tax, whatever, when you're selling like an entire, you know, intellectual property like that. Right. Anyway, kept $1.3 billion of that for himself. Spent $70 million on it on a house or a mansion in Beverly Hills, California, which at the time was the highest that any, you know, any home had sold for in that area. And I'm not shitting on him for that. Like, if you earn a lot of money and you want to buy a big, expensive, fancy fucking house, go for it.
But fuck that. I'll shit on him for it. That's fucking bullshit, bro. That's a lot of money
success,
for no reason.
Right? I'm not a person who likes success. I don't believe in, you know, big money and the greed of people who have that much money and then just hoard it on stupid shit like cars and houses, like all that material shit. But, you know, gets the house, you know, from what I've gathered, you know, they tried to do as much, or he tried to do whatever he could money wise for people who had worked with him. But money to an extent doesn't buy happiness. And right. I think Notch is a perfect example of that, who has enough money that he could buy whatever you want. He's throwing weekly parties for, you know, like the scene in that area, the people, the party scene in that area of California.
But I've heard that like the parties that he's never even there at the parties. They're just at his house, but he's never there.
It's just at his big mansion. And his tweets have revealed enough that, you know, it's just left him feeling just empty and no better. And it's proof that you can, when you have everything, it's like there's nothing left to live for, basically. You know, it doesn't make him happy being rich and having friends. Anyway, this isn't the biography and, you know, breakdown of Notch directly as a person. It's just I want to explain why I prefer Minecraft to be a product of Microsoft, how it is now, versus having it in any way associated with Notch any further. So I think starting in 2016 or 17, which was, you know, years after selling the game, you know, on Twitter, for several different instances, he has come out referring to feminism as a social disease. And he referred to Zoe Quinn as a fucking cunt on Twitter in a, you know, public response for suggesting that she was in favor of not letting people involved with Gamergate get away with what they had done if they didn't make amends. Gamergate was obviously a long running thing about, you know, sexual harassment, mistreatment of, you know, women in the video game workplace for a while, which, you know, that happens fucking everywhere. And but the point is it does need to be called out and people need to be fucking held accountable. So to suggest that someone who has, you know, that mindset, that people who do shitty things like that should be held accountable, calling someone like that a fucking cunt, that's a problem. I mean, it's really problematic behavior, and it's really quick fire way to suggest who you are. You know, furthermore, beyond that, he's revealed himself to be, you know, transphobic on several occasions, responding to tweets that are suggesting that trans women are women by saying straight up, no, they're not. And then suggesting that people, you know, transgender people are mentally ill, that they have mental illness, and that it's disgusting to be supportive of that, to encourage their mental illness. Just a lot of fucked up opinions on people in the world, and really egotistical from the standpoint of, you know, that he has the right answer. Basically, he knows what's true and, you know, is going to preach it to all his followers. And beyond that, you know, his tweets suggesting, again, like the timing of all the tweets too, that that it's okay to be white, which is another one of those just fucking like the dog whistle kind of tweets or comments to suggest, and, you know, implying that privilege is a made-up metric, suggesting white privilege is a made-up metric, that it's not real, which is crazy fucking ironic coming from a rich white guy. You know, it's just not the people to be making comments on that. It's just, and I don't know, I have a lot of problems with it. But the point is that these are all the reasons why I'm not a fan of this person who created this game.
100%. And it sucks, right? Because it's someone who's created a labor of love and people have fun playing this game, and like for it to all fall back on that one person, which kudos to Microsoft for pretty much removing themselves from him and kind of cutting that abscess out of their game and in the future of the game. So kudos to them, because I mean, someone who clearly shows their intentions and everything that they're all about and has no problem doing so is not just a danger to themselves, but a danger to society as a whole. So, you know, anyone who can freely speak this way, which if you're out there and you freely think this way and you go out of your way to voice these opinions, which are wrong, there's just no place for you in society whatsoever. You are so backlog thinking, it's unreal. Like trying to make us move forward, not backwards. Okay. We can be accepting of everyone, right? When you're accepting of everyone, dude, great things happen. Like great things, like countries and empires succeed when great, like when you accept everyone. That's how I feel.
Yeah. It's I don't know. It's not a time where you can get away with shit like that. And it sucks that a lot of great things have been created by not great people. That's in the same line of Harry Potter. Obviously, I'm a big Harry Potter fan, but J.K. Rowling's a fucking trash can full of more trash cans.
Yep. It's unfortunate because she created such a great world and a great story, but for her to be the way she is.
Anyway, we're talking about Minecraft.
Caves and Cliffs, baby!
Caves and Cliffs, baby!
Caves and Cliffs!
So, this is the Caves and Cliffs update, part one. So, this update was split into two parts for a couple of reasons that they go over, and they have some dev videos, which are really cool. The developers, you know, kind of discussing the update, discussing everything around it. First part, because the big part of this update that the name derives itself from, Caves and Cliffs, is that there's going to be multiple new biomes that come out, such as massive mountain cliffs with the actual ceiling of the world, like the height limit being increased, and caves that are going to generate, but like massive caves, like true legitimate cave systems underground, which are both going to change kind of the way the world itself, the game itself generates worlds, which is a big undertaking. And they want to make sure they get it right. So instead of just rushing it all out at one time and, you know, having their people work through crunch and being like, you know, stressed out, overworked, they are doing it the right way. They're releasing part one first, which is the stuff that was easier to implement, like some of the creatures and plants and blocks and things like that that are going to exist in, you know, partnership with the full, with part two, but that were not as potentially game breaking, that needed as much effort put into making sure they came out successfully, but they could at least get the ball rolling. And they're taking the summer to holiday this year is the estimated time for part two, so that their people can be safe, especially in the current climate of the world with COVID. We're approaching the end times of that, it would seem, but still throughout all that and with their people, like, again, not wanting to overwork them, and develop not only a great product, but develop something that the people who are making it are happy to be a part of, which I support fully.
100%.
So with part one, part that's out now, what do we get?
Overwork, you say? Great product, you say?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you say? For any of those listening out there, I am holding up a Cyberpunk game.
Yes, the fabled Cyberpunk 2077.
God, what it could have been.
Yeah.
So sad.
Shame.
Shame. Shame.
We get new creatures that are already out in the game.
Okay.
Three new creatures. The Axolotl, which is a non-hostile amphibious creature that spawns in underground water that is in total darkness. So again, this is going to be a creature that's in underground water, so focused around the caves that are going to come out. Yeah. But it will spawn in the game now in certain locations. The Glow Squid, which are super cool. My daughter has a glow squid plushie that the tentacles and eyes and stuff glow in the dark. It's awesome. They will spawn again in underground water sources in total darkness, although their bright glow gives their presence away, so you can see them glowing in the dark and underground.
Nice.
And then finally, the funniest fucking new creature is the goats. So goats are going to be found eventually in the mountain biomes. Right now, they just spawn in certain areas temporarily. But they will ram players to get too close. So the trailer that shows this like update off is basically just the rams punting people and villagers and shit just like for 2 minutes straight. And it's hilarious.
That's fucking awesome. You got to be careful now. Now you got to be careful, because if you're on top of a mountain, fall damage is real.
On top of a mountain, a goat shows up. You're playing on hardcore mode. Poof.
Boom. There you go.
Ooh. Yeah. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. New plants. All right. We got azalea bushes. So they can be, flowering azalea bushes. So you can use bone meal on them and grow them into azalea trees. So that's pretty cool. Cave vines and glowberries. So again, focusing on what's going to be in these caves. A lot of these are cave focused plants. Less things that are probably going to grow on top of a mountain. Cave vines that grow down from the ceiling, they have a chance of producing glow berries on them, which can be used as food or a light source. Drip leaf, which is going to be found growing on clay or in the water. And it can, you know, bone meal can again be used to make those grow taller. Grow lichen, which is a low light source that's found in caves now. You can harvest it with shears. They're also adding moss blocks and moss carpets, which are decorative blocks. So that's the moss dope. Carpet can be crafted from moss blocks.
Hell yeah.
Rooted dirt, hanging roots, which are decorative blocks, again, that naturally occur in the lush caves biome, which is the one that we don't I don't think we officially have yet. So I don't know if these things grow or not, but if you use bone meal on the rooted dirt block, it produces on the bottom side of the block, the hanging roots for like decoration inside the caves. And then spore blossoms, same thing, decorative blocks. Their large flowers can be placed on the ceilings. So it's pretty cool stuff. That's just going to make the caves have more character and, you know, be more like the dripping dark caves with, you know, stalactites coming down.
When was the last time this game had such a big update like this?
The Nether update, which was... Because
this is cool.
It was within the last year, but I don't remember the exact release time of the Nether update, but that would have been the most previous update.
You said within the last year the Nether update happened?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it came out, well, it came out sometime last year, but like within a calendar year, I believe. It was like the end of last year, I think.
I didn't know that they were just putting so much into this game still. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, no, like it's pretty cool.
It is very cool.
I'm going to try to find the...
That's how you keep people coming back.
Yeah, actually, I think the Nether update came out around this time last year.
Wow.
Nice. Like in June of last year.
Good for them, man.
But it was cool. Yeah, it revamped like the Nether and the way it worked, added new biomes to the Nether, new mobs, stuff like that. That one was really cool.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, there's new blocks. There's amethyst, geodes, clusters, and shards, which can be found underground. You can mine them with a pickaxe. Candles. Okay, 16 different colors of candles you can place on any solid surface. They added copper ore, which it's very cool. It shows up with like little like green and orange gems. You can mine that right now.
Do you think they did that on purpose with the candles?
16 candles?
16 different colored candles?
Probably.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Great movie.
You can smelt to produce copper ingots, and you can use copper ingots to make copper blocks. And the copper blocks will actually oxidate over time and like get, they will change. They will change their appearance and what happens with them. There's deep slate, which is, it's slightly harder than stone. And when mined, it becomes cobbled deep slate. It seems like it's just like, you know, a decorative kind of change block.
Right.
Pointed dripstone, which grows downward into a stalactite if you place it on a ceiling, or if you place it on the ground, it grows upwards into a stalagmite. So those are probably the coolest decorative blocks for caves.
Hell yeah.
You
can make a bat cave.
Yeah, exactly. You can make all those and it'd be awesome. For mountains and other places like that, they added powder snow, which is it's kind of like sand, but like worse almost. I don't think it can crush and like fall and crush you, but you can fall into it. Like it's a block that you fall. If you fall into like a three deep one, you fall down three and you are just in the snow block, which is, it's neat. Anything you walk onto it will sink into it. You can also gather it up in a bucket.
Satchel. Okay.
Yep. And tuff, which is a new stone type that's found in blobs underground.
Hell yeah. Dude.
You can craft two new items, which is a lightning rod. You can craft with copper so that you can protect your buildings from lightning strikes. They'll always strike the lightning rod within a certain block. And you can also make a spyglass with copper and amethyst, which does exactly what you'd imagine. You can see things that are far away with it. But
that's sick, dude.
Yeah. They're pretty cool. Yeah, they're just little small things, but they're pretty cool. What's expected to happen when we get part two, which there is no official release date yet, but holiday this year is what they're aiming for. The biomes are going to be the biggest thing, right? So lush caves, there's going to be a lot of color added to the underground, full of green covered blocks, glow berries. You'll be able to find the lush caves by looking for azalea trees that grow above them. So you can kind of be walking on the top and see the azaleas and be like, oh shit, it's a lush cave down here. And you can go look for it. The second biome underground that's less colorful than the lush caves is going to have the stalagmites and stalactites. It's going to be the dripstone caves. So you got to be careful not to fall into pits in there. And then there's also the deep dark, which there's any lights in the cave start going dim. You might want to make a hasty retreat. That's a sign that down in the deep dark, there is a new mob called the Warden. Which they live deep underground and they respond to movement and vibrations, and you'll want to avoid them as they are supposedly going to deal a ton of damage and have a high health pool. Skulk sensors generate down here as well.
It's like a fucking Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah. And the skulk sensors are blocks. They're found deep underground when like the warden terrain, and they're set off by sounds and vibrations. They emit a redstone signal when they're triggered. So that could be pretty cool for working with redstone. So you can trigger the redstone by sound and vibration if you can utilize it for that, which I imagine you can. It'd be pretty cool.
It's going to be sick, dude. That's pretty sweet that they've put it. It just shows how much they care about the game, right? How much they actually care about it and what they want to do for players and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, again, I go long periods usually before I play it, after I've played it the previous time. So by the time I come back, there's always one of these big updates, and you know, everything's different. There's so much that I still have not done or not experienced. I still have never used a loom. Like, you can make banners and stuff in the game. I know that's not necessarily new, but I've never really done that yet. I haven't barely done anything with like enchanting or like the potion making. I know there's so many you can make and you can do. I've played around with them more in the creative mode than anything because you can access them all freely, but there is so much cool stuff you can do versus when I played this game a lot, which was back, you know, again, probably before it was, you know, sold to Microsoft. So there wasn't a whole lot going on yet. It's come a long way.
We should jump into it one time for a stream.
We should. Yeah, we should. I'd be down to play it again. But yes, there's a lot of cool stuff going on with it. I think the game overall is still in a good place. I looked on Twitter and right around the time where this first part one of the Caves and Cliffs update came out, Notch made a tweet about it being a dead game, like not to be a dead horse or whatever, but Minecraft's, you know, dead or whatever. I mean, that it seems like years later, it's like it's probably kind of like salty that he's, you know, that he sold his share in it, even though he originally sold his portion of it because he couldn't take all the criticisms that came his way as the, you know, the guy who was on top. Any problems people had with the game or with a new update or whatever all got thrown at him, and he was tired of it and just wanted to cash out and walk away. But he's probably, you know, looking at, you know, now the top selling game of all time. Yeah, he created it, but at this point he's not a part of it anymore. He's not a part of the journey it's taken to get to where it is now.
He's going to be even more salty when I tell him right now, when he listens to this, that Minecraft is number 12 on the most like viewers of Twitch right now. 41.9K viewers are watching people play Minecraft right now.
Yeah.
For a game that came out, what, you said 2007?
2009 was like the classic version, and then the game officially launched in 2011.
Yeah, dude. There's people are loving it. People are loving it. The highest person that has viewers right now, she got 5.4K viewers. Like, and that's a female, Notch. Just letting you know. Just want to let you know, bud. Which, it's dope, man. Like, the game's come a long way, and, you know, thank God, no thanks to him.
Well, and right. And with the game hitting 200 million sales, it has 126 million monthly players.
Right.
Pretty hard to call that a dead game.
Yeah. You can't.
It's still incredibly popular, and it's popular with everybody. Yeah. It's very popular with kids.
I mean, your kids play it.
Yeah. I think everybody's kids play it or have played it. You know, it's one of those games along with, you know, Roblox and Hello Neighbor for a while, for whatever reason, that were just really big, really appealing to kids. But
I mean, you and I were running through Minecraft Dungeons.
Right. Minecraft Dungeons has spin offs. Minecraft Dungeons, Minecraft Story Mode. Warner Brothers bought the rights to a Minecraft movie, which was in development. Originally was going to have Rob McElhenney direct it.
That's awesome.
But that has since changed. They're no longer associated with it. And also, it's like put on a who knows when it will happen since COVID.
Yeah. Didn't they do a Telltale game as well?
Yeah, that's the Minecraft Story Mode. It's not Telltale, I don't think, but it's, or maybe it was. I don't remember, honestly.
No, it definitely was.
I could be wrong. It might have been Telltale.
Hold on. It was published by Telltale Games.
Okay. Yeah. It did play very much like them, so it makes sense.
Yep.
But yeah, there's been a lot of little spinoffs of that too. Minecraft Earth, which is you know, like one of the Pokemon Go kind of games.
Oh, nice.
But for Minecraft, a lot of, obviously merchandise. I was just looking up like merchandise sales numbers from Minecraft. I mean, it's no Pokemon, but
no.
I mean, you go everywhere. You can buy a Minecraft sword, Minecraft shirt, plushies. There's tons of stuff.
We actually talked about this one time on the way back when the Black and White Gaming podcast.
I was thinking about that when I was thinking about this, like referring back to that.
Yeah, the merchandising, like, yes, you have a game and yes, you make a lot of money from that, but all these companies look at different outlets, right? And merchandise is just the biggest thing because kids love this shit. And adults love this shit because they love, like, adults love collecting stuff. I mean, I think humans are natural hoarders anyways, right? So, I mean, you know, if it's collectible and at some point if you sell it, it makes you money, why wouldn't you, you know?
Yeah.
It's just how it is.
And when my daughter plays the game, she has a world on the PlayStation. I think it's on the PlayStation because we have it on everything. Where it's a creative one, I think, where she just has this massive field full of like every possible animal all tethered to like three different posts. And there's so many fucking animals that the frame rate is cut. If she looks at the main area, the frame rate goes to shit. Oh, I've never made that happen with Minecraft. And she has collected so many animals that the game barely runs if you go to where she hangs out with them.
Hilarious. That is so funny.
Minecraft generated $415 million in revenue in 2020. Mobile revenue accounted for $110 million of that. Over 130 million people play Minecraft once a month, at least in 2020. And like we said, it sold on all formats over 200 million times. Minecraft's Chinese edition, which is a free game, has been downloaded over 400 million times.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And I mean, its revenue, granted, you know, it has made a lot of changes, but in 2012, its revenue was $211 million for that year. It looks like its peak sales year, which was 2018, it made $500 million.
Good God, dude.
Microsoft has definitely, and that's just from the game itself, the revenue. Microsoft has made back their investment, I would say, and then some.
And then some, dude. I wonder why they can give fucking Game Pass, you know, put games on Game Pass for whatever. They've got enough money, dude, to do anything.
Yeah, mobile revenue for it is just on the rise, has been every year, just increasingly going up. And again, like the sales numbers, you know, it sold 4 million in 2011, which on its own right is pretty crazy. The first year it came out, it sold 4 million copies. It's you know, it's now reached 200 million. Since the sale to Microsoft, it has only grown substantially. So again, it comes off really salty when you tweet out the idea that, like, the, you know, it's a dead game. It's continuing to grow, and it has stayed consistent for a game that originally launched in 2009 with its classic version.
Wild.
It's still staying relevant.
Right. They knew what they had in their hands, and they knew how to run with it.
Yeah.
They're not dumb, dude. Microsoft, don't get me wrong, right? You know, I mean, we talk about Game Pass every time we do this. Right. Microsoft, there can be a console war if you want. I'm on the side of where I don't really care anymore. Like way back when I used to be like, oh, please, it's so much better. Now I just don't care, right? Like Microsoft and Sony are smart companies. They're very smart. If they were not smart, they would be dead. They'd be dead companies. They know how to, I guess, manipulate the market, right, for their games and stuff like that. Like, and it's not even in a bad way. It's just a way that helps them make money and gives the consumer what they want. So, like, Microsoft, I mean, they're just lying in their pockets at this point. And Salty McSalt Boy is sitting there with his dick in his hand, very sad.
Salty McSalt Boy.
Salty McSalt Boy, man.
And I mean, Microsoft has done dirty companies that I think, like Lionhead, although they kind of did themselves dirty, but I think they've done well with Mojang. They've done Rare dirty.
No, they
or did again, maybe Rare's done themselves dirty. I don't know, but like, where the fuck's my Viva Pinata on the Series X? Hello. Well, that's what it was made for. 12 teraflops of let me make cartoon pinata worms fuck in my garden. I want my birds. I want to flock all the hippos to my town.
This doesn't indirectly talk about Microsoft, but it's more of like EA. There have been rumors that a Dead Space is in the works.
Oh, shit.
I'm excited.
Can't wait. Well, I think that pretty much covers what we have so far for Caves and Cliffs, the update we are speaking about. Let's we'll take a little break here, cut it to some promos, to some advertisements, to some of the money-making stuff.
Yes.
And we'll be back in a few minutes.
Whether you know everything there is to know about bourbon or nothing at all, you need to be listening to the Black and Brown Podcast, an African-American perspective on bourbon.
I want us, listen. I don't want to crack it and send y'all samples. I want us to be able to RIP that together in person.
Listen to it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google.
Welcome to our channel, The Nerd Crusade. I'm Beastie Boy.
I'm Table.
I'm Red.
And it is I, Shino Brando.
We discuss topics from across the nerdiverse, from video games, anime, comics, and more.
And if you want to chat with us, you can find us on Twitter at Crusade Nerd, on Instagram at Nerd Crusade, on Twitch 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time every single week. You can find us wherever podcasts are found by searching Nerd Crusade.
And that's to be continued.
Do your hobbies include comic books, movies, television, and or video games?
Are you always behind with the latest news in the world of nerd?
Well, look no further than the Oblivion Bar, a nerd culture podcast.
Oh, great Scott!
Hosted by Chris Hacker and Aaron Knowles, the Oblivion Bar offers a weekly review of all the latest breaking news, in-depth discussions far beyond whether Han shot first, and newsletter section, where you, the listener, send in your questions to be answered live on the show.
New episodes every Monday, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts.
I'm just so freaking excited!
You can also find us on Twitter, at Oblivion Bar Pod.
Come join us at the Oblivion Bar Podcast.
Hope to see you there.
It's a night like any other, when you choose to hop into your Minecraft server for some relaxing exploration before bed. You grab your torches, pickaxe and sword, and begin to etch out a new mining tunnel. It's not long before you expose a long, narrow 2x2 tunnel carved into the stone. Curious, you wander into it, only to soon be met face to face with a reflection of yourself staring back from the darkness, staring with empty white eyes. This is Game Theory, Herobrine. The theory says Herobrine creates random constructions such as sand pyramids in the oceans and long 2x2 tunnels into caves. He also cuts off all the leaves from trees. Any of the above would be telltale signs that Herobrine has infected your world. Herobrine first appeared in a single image detailing an encounter posted on 4chan and gained very little attention. It stated that Herobrine had appeared in their single-player game, littering their map with various pyramids and tunnels. It was the first time that this was referenced as Herobrine. It describes that after noticing this character, they saved the map and went to the forums to ask if anybody else had heard or seen about this character, only to have their thread deleted. Trying again, the topic was deleted even faster. They then claimed to have received a personal message from a user named Herobrine containing one word: stop. When they went to look at that profile, the page 404'd. They received emails from numerous other members of the forums claiming to have seen them as well. After about a month had passed, he began to look more into the name Herobrine and found the name to be frequently used by a Swedish gamer. After some further information gathering, it was revealed to be the brother of Notch, the game's developer. He then claims to have personally emailed Notch and asked him if he had a brother. It took a while for a response, but then he received one saying, "I did, but he is no longer with us." This led to one canonical theory that Herobrine was the ghost of Notch's brother, somehow inhabiting the worlds of its players. Sometime later, Herobrine grew in popularity when the Brocraft streamer Copeland photoshopped Herobrine into several screenshots to show to his chat. He had recently taken a liking to the story and wished to be a part of it. After getting largely good reactions, he decided to stage a hoax. Copeland had played through the world as a normal Let's Player would, deliberately avoiding the work-in-progress room he had set up for the hoax. Herobrine was introduced to the stream 20 minutes and 45 seconds in. He is confirmed to be a retextured painting. Copeland then screamed and ran out from the room, promptly ending his stream. Copeland then pretended to be shaken up in the chat, and later posted a message onto the forums linking to the video to spread it around, in the hope to get similar reactions. After a while, Copeland removed the painting and reverted to normal textures. He proceeded to stream further, pretending to be scared. He announced that he would delete the world to never meet Herobrine again. Later on, Patamus made a video showing Herobrine in a user-made lava field. This Herobrine was freestanding, unlike the previous video. Due to this, it is likely that he was a retextured door. The live stream went down after Patamus ran away and saved his game, only to resume 10 minutes later, where Herobrine had disappeared. Later on, during the second stream, Patamus could be heard talking to his wife, stating he was trolling. This flooded the live stream chat with outrage. He then faked a game crash. Copeland disliked that Patamus outed Herobrine as fake. It is unknown exactly what happened in relation to Patamus's video, but Copeland then posted links in the chat, leading to a webpage that features Steve's face, but with real, frantically rolling eyes in the place of his block eyes, modified to be completely black. Below the face, there are a jumble of characters and letters. After removing all non-alphabet characters, the following message is revealed. It has been reported that some victims of torture during the act would retreat into a fantasy world from which they could not wake up. In this catatonic state, the victim lived in a world just like their normal one, except they weren't being tortured. The only way that they realized they needed to wake up was a note they found in their fantasy world. It would tell them about their condition and tell them to wake up. Even then, it would often take months until they were ready to discard their fantasy world and please wake up. The message keeps telling the viewer to wake up, implying they're living in a fantasy world, and this text hidden in the page is their note. The stream proceeded later with no further Herobrine sightings. Notch had this to say in reference to Herobrine. The Herobrine stuff is awesome and kind of scary at the same time. It really shows how little control a content producer has over the content. I've publicly told people there's never been such a thing as Herobrine, and that I don't have any dead brothers, and that letting too many animals die in lava is a foolproof way to summon him, but that you don't need to be afraid of him. He only means well. He's looking out for you, trying to warn you of the dangers you can't see. There certainly are no physical manifestations of Herobrine that will sneak out of your computer if you leave Minecraft running at night, looming over you as you sleep with his pale eyes inches away from your face as he tries to shout at you to wake up. Sometimes you wake up with a jolt, and he's gone. And all that lingers is the memory and faint echo of his wordless screaming. Of course, it was just a dream. There's no way a morally dubious ghost with a god complex could at any point decide to haunt the children who play my game for their own good, as there is no such thing as Herobrine.
Right.
welcome to the first installment of a new segment here for season 3. Test your mental might. It's trivia. It's trivia, but it has a cool name. We have one today because we're going to do some trivia about Minecraft. We're going to see, Devon, how much do you know about Minecraft, aside from what I just told you?
Not a lot. Give me test my mental fortitude, sir.
All right, he said, hell yes, he's ready. Let's
test your mental might.
This one's going to be, we'll see. Question number one, Devon, when did the first Minecraft update come out and what did it do? Was it 4 minutes after launch, because it was a game-breaking bug, 1 minute after launch, which added creative mode, 6 months after launch, which added multiplayer, or 4 months after launch, which added survival mode?
Oh my god. As most games, they always have a game-breaking bug. But I'm going to go with, what was the second one?
1 month after launch, was it adding creative mode?
No, it's the game-breaking bug.
Correct. It was a rough start for a couple of hundred seconds there, but 4 minutes later, the bug that made the game unplayable was fixed.
Thank God.
Ding, ding, ding. Question number two. Which version added the dark dimension known as the end? Java Edition Beta 1, Java Edition 1.2.1, Java Edition 1.0.0, Minecraft for Xbox 360.
1.0.
The beta? Or one, or Java Edition 1.0.0.
1.0.0.
That is correct. The initial release of the Java version added the end to the game. It was an idea well before that release, but it became official with version 1.0.
Fuck yeah, dude. I'm so smart.
All right. What type of arrow has never existed in any vanilla version of Minecraft? The arrow of decay, the spectral arrow, the diamond arrow, or the arrow of healing?
Just because I've never seen it, the diamond arrow.
That's correct.
Oh my god.
I imagine diamond arrows would be very powerful. Sadly, they have never existed in any vanilla release of Minecraft.
Oh yeah. I'm surprising myself here.
Speaking of the end, how do you earn the achievement titled The End? Enter the exit portal in The End, defeat the Ender Dragon, enter an end portal, or defeat an Enderman?
Defeat the Ender Dragon.
Ooh, the first flop.
Damn.
The first one.
The end portal.
Defeating the Ender Dragon opens the exit portal in the end, but actually entering it is what gets you the achievement.
Yeah. Damn. I never made it that far, so I wouldn't know.
This one should be an easy one, a walk in the park. To create one iron pickaxe, you need 2 sticks and how much of another material? 1 iron ingot, 2 iron ingots, 3 iron ingots, or 2 iron ore?
3 iron ingots.
That's correct for the easiest question thus far and the hardest test your mental might quiz thus far.
Dink, dink, dink. Now I want to play Minecraft.
Yeah, right. I'm getting you into it. I'm getting the listeners into it. What was the major feature added to Minecraft in the Better Together update? Co-op survival, zombies mode, local multiplayer, or cross-platform multiplayer?
Cross-platform multiplayer.
Yeah, that one was kind of giveaway. I started reading it and I was like, wait a minute. And then I just had to go.
Because I heard local multiplayer and I was like, ooh, maybe it's that one. And then as soon as it said cross-plat, I'm like, oh, cross-plat, dude. Come on.
How was the design for the creeper originally conceived? The developer lost a bet and let a friend design an enemy. The friend proceeded to draw it for him. It was an interpretation of a monster from a recurring nightmare. They took inspiration from the pest of Scandinavian folklore, or it was a coding error while trying to make a pig.
Coding error, pig.
That is correct.
Yes, dude, let's go. I went with the dumbest one, dude.
It was not based on anything spooky and no bets were lost. Legend has it, while trying to design a pig, the vertical and horizontal dimensions got swapped. And the rest is history.
That's fucking awesome, dude. The most feared creature in the fucking game is a creeper.
Accident.
Yeah,
I have one final question for you.
How many was this? How many questions?
I don't know. I lost track. I meant to do 10, and I just got so excited for this new segment that I just went crazy. I'm going to listen in post. We'll see. Which one of these ores does not exist in vanilla Minecraft? The gold ore, the emerald ore, the ruby ore, or the sapphire ore?
Emerald.
That is incorrect.
Fuck,
gold ore is for real, and we have our primary colors of light covered with emerald ore, ruby ore, and lapis lazuli ore. Sapphire ore is the odd one out, and not included in vanilla Minecraft.
I went with Pokemon. Emeralds, you know, came after ruby and sapphire. So
I gotcha. I see what you did.
I knew gold was there because gold is just standard. Gold being a soft metal, by the way.
Hey, pal, thanks for coming on the Good Game Guys podcast. Thanks for hanging out and testing your mental might with us.
Okay,
appreciate you. And, stick around because you are a co-host of this podcast. So, you know.
I'll gladly
stick around. Thanks for joining, but also you've been here forever. So,
facts.
Thanks for being here. You did great.
Thanks.
I'm proud of you.
Thanks for having me. I did pretty well. I would say I did pretty well. I got 3 wrong.
Yeah. The whole thing was a blur. I remember none of it.
I got 2 wrong.
I think it was only 2, and I don't remember how many questions I asked you. Not bad. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the first episode of Season 3 of The Good Game Guys. We talked about some good game, like Minecraft, the caves and cliffs. We did talk about some not great people involved in the creation of Minecraft, but
true.
The point is, the game is still here, and we still have a lot of fun with the game. Speaking of having a lot of fun, we do it every week on Monday when we release a new episode for you of The Good Game Guys, and every Wednesday when we release a new episode of our Let's Anime side project, where we are currently diving into the Record of Ragnarok anime on Netflix.
Sheesh.
It leaves a lot to be desired, but if you want to know about it or you want to watch it along with us, check that out on Wednesdays. And check out this show right here next Monday. Or right now, maybe you're living in the future and there's 1,000 of these fucking things out. That'd be cool. And you can just pick one with your eyes closed.
That'd be sick.
Follow us on social media, any of the platforms you prefer. Good Game Guys Pod is the handle you're looking for. Email us, goodgameguyspod@gmail.com. You really should. Send us the suggestions. Send us the games you want us to cover. Send us some dumb shit we said you don't want us to say again. Send us some dumb shit that we didn't say you wish we had said. Send us whatever you want. Just send it to us.
Send it to
us. Seal it with a kiss. Mwah! To the Good Game Guys. We'd appreciate that.
Hey.
Thank you, everyone, for listening, for sticking around with us. We're over 1,000 followers on Twitter, which is very cool.
Woo!
Did not think that would happen. Very cool. Appreciate that. We have a giveaway that to give it away. I think it's already going to have ended by the time this airs. But if you want us to do more of those in the future, let us know. We've been the Good Game Guys. Thanks for sticking around and starting the adventures of Season 3 with us. We'll see you next week.